Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nations.
Praise God. Worship team, thank you so much. I felt like that was a realm of reverent worship. Amen? Anyone felt that? You know, there are realms of worship, you know? But there's that realm of reverent worship where you say words and you can't really even express them. Yeah? So thank you so much, worship team. Thank you very much. May God bless you. Amen? It's good to be in the house of God. It's always exciting for me to come. My first time to see you, my name is Joanne Isoka. I'm introducing myself to her. Yes, you're very welcome to Last Adam Tabernacle. As I was coming today, I just thought about how it is such a great honor for us to meet during this time. I asked the girl at home who helps me do work, asked her, oh, so how are you handling this post-COVID SOPs at your church? She goes to a church in the neighborhood, and there are so many. Then she said, she's a Mtoro. I'm going to try. But to be in Gireyo. They chased us away from there. They said, if you go this Sunday, don't come back the next Sunday. Let other people go to church. But in LAT, we don't have that. Glory to God. You can come this Sunday, come the next Sunday, until you. Amen? Yes, so today, we're going to talk about a very simple thing. And I'm grateful to God that Pastor wrote about it about like 2-3 weeks ago. And he just stopped on part one, guarding your heart. So the word of the week was titled, Guard Your Heart, Part One. So some of us are good students are waiting for part two. We waited and waited. And I think the Spirit of God took him elsewhere. So I'm here to get the word of the week for tomorrow, hopefully for next week. That is Guard Your Heart, Part Two. Amen? Amen? And I hope I do a great job. Father, we thank you for our hearts. The Lord, you're interested in them. You're interested in the prosperity of our hearts. For you have told us that blessed are those that are pure in heart, for they shall see you. Father, we thank you that you're teaching us as LAT to have pure hearts. You're reminding us as your children that you desire holiness, and holiness is your will for us. Father, we thank you that during this service, the words will be anointed to change hearts towards you, O God, to deliver us from the things that have held us captive, from every stronghold that stops us from having pure hearts before you. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen. So, guarding our hearts. Guarding our hearts. This is a sermon that I would really prefer to preach to people who are newly born again. Why? Because of the kasigiri those guys have. Now you guys have been in salvation for a long time. It is difficult. So please be kind to me as I minister to you. You know those people who are just newly born again, they want to know, you know, they've been saved, they're still experiencing the mercy of God, at least it's fresh at that point, and they are wondering, how can my life change from what I used to be before to now this new life? And this is when you hit them with sermons like, guard your hearts. But you know, as I was thinking about this, I realized that nothing in the Word of God, you can't get so familiar with things in the Word of God. And it doesn't matter whether you have a ministry for 60 years, a ministry for 40, you've been born again for whatever period of time, you must guard your heart. Amen? You must guard your heart. If you're going to see the Lord, if you're going to see a certain level of the supernatural in your life, you must guard your heart. Amen? And so today we are learning from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23-27, NIV. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or left. Keep your foot from evil. When we talk about guarding our hearts, you realize that, first of all, it's a verb. My daughter keeps correcting me that there are no silent R's. So, it is verb. So, yes, so it is guarding, to guard. The word guard is a verb. Amen? And it's a doing word, and in there is a present continuous tense. So you cannot say I guarded last week. You can't say I guarded my heart last week. Being on guard or guarding means watching over in order to protect or control. Watching over in order to protect or control. Or to protect against damage or harm. Glory to God. You realize that many people that have fallen along the way, the great fathers in the faith, along the way there is always an issue of them not guarding their hearts well. Or they slept on the job. But the Bible tells us that guard your heart. That means that you have a part to play. The heart is yours. It is for you to guard. Amen? Not anyone else, not your pastor, not that worship song. It is you to protect that heart, to guard it from harm. Amen? Just like Ascaris do. And let's go to what the word heart means. The word heart, in this case, is not the physical, biological heart that pumps out blood. No, that one is beneath the ribcage. So it is guarded. God put that mechanism in place to guard that heart. So there we are sorted. But here, the word heart means more than a thoughtful life, your thought life. It's more than the emotion. It's more than it's those things that motivate you. It is the fundamentals of who you actually are. It is just more than what you think on a daily. It is what you really are. What is your motivation? Many times I come here and I in my prayer, I'm like, God, whatever I do for you, may the motives of my heart, not motives of my mind, but motives of my heart. When you tell someone, I didn't have the heart for it, or I thought I had, you came to my heart today. Or when someone tells you, now for us who are married, when someone tells you, let's have a heart to heart, you're like, Koba Nkozechi now, things are serious. Yeah? So when someone talks about the heart, they mean what you fundamentally are, the heavy things. That is more than just things in your mind. You can think things, but when your heart is not there. Amen, single ladies? Yeah, a guy can come and say, "But now close his eyes, I thought about you, but got a heart." It's like those ends, yeah. So, and likewise, anyway, another guy can also tell you, "No, you are in my heart, Nenga. You're just up here." But today, God wants us to remember the true definition of heart are those things that we find what we essentially are. It's more than just the thought process. It's your emotion. It's what motivates you. So the Bible is telling us here, God. Your heart. Amen? Jesus said in Matthew 5:8, this was the Sermon on the Mount, Beatitudes, yeah? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Again, we see the word heart there. So blessed are the pure in heart, not mind. It is fundamentally who you are, your motives. You can have a bad heart. You can have not bad in the sense that it's not pumping well. But when they say someone has a bad heart, that means takwagaliza. They are naysayers, you know. They don't wish you well. Someone says, that person, that guy, that lady, she has a bad heart. Honestly, you don't even, you know that at that point they are not saying that that lady thinks bad thoughts. They are saying that that lady is wicked. Is evil, bad person. Okay? So now we've seen that, what guarding is, we've seen what our hearts are. And Proverbs 23:7 tells us how our hearts direct our lives. Okay? For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. He says, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Okay? Then he goes on to say, eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. So in this verse again, we see that our actions can be different from what is on the inside of us. All right? And your life will go in the direction your predominant thoughts of the heart are. Okay? You wake up in the morning feeling low. You didn't think low. You felt low in your heart. And let me tell you, that day will be a bummer. Just because you felt it in your heart. So this is why God is telling us, reminding us as LAT, if we want to see him, we must guard our hearts. The days are evil. The time is closing in. I'm preaching holiness, by the way, without telling you holiness. Yes. Because holiness is a heart matter. It's not actions on the outside. 1 Samuel 16:7. In looking for a king for Israel, this is what the Lord tells Prophet Samuel. The Lord says, it says here in verse 7, but the Lord said unto Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at your heart. The Lord looks at your heart. Amen? By the time the Lord takes time to look at your heart, this stuff is serious. Glory to God. So, Matthew 15:18-20. We are going to see the things that proceed from our hearts and why God is so interested in us. But those things which proceed, Jesus is telling the disciples, they were asking him about cleanliness. But those things which proceed from the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, or would be false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands doesn't defile a man. Okay? So we are going to get that scripture, and we look at it in parallel to 1 Corinthians 6:9-10. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, abenzi, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, ababi, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners. What are extortioners? Abayai. Will inherit the kingdom of God. Okay? So here we see in 1 Corinthians 6:9-10, we are being told that if our hearts are in that condition, we are not going to see the kingdom of what? Of God. Jesus reminded us that the things that are in our hearts are the things that defile us. Alright? So for me, that sounds like holiness. Glory to God. That holiness is fundamentally a heart issue. Amen? So the heart is very crucial to God. And in pursuing righteousness and holiness. And the days are evil. But I believe that in these last days, before around 2034, yeah, the ministry of John the Baptist is coming up in a much powerful way, where people are saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Make proper your ways. Make right your actions. Make right your hearts, for the kingdom of God is at hand. We are going to see in these last days more of those ministries than I believe ever before. And I'm glad that in a very small way this morning, I'm contributing to that. Amen. So how do we then guard this thing that the Lord is interested in? The very first thing is, I remember when I was in June 13th, 2019, I used to ask God, when I had that dream, and you all know about it, or most of you do, when I was asking God, how can I love you with all my heart, my strength, I was really on fire for God. Well, yeah. So I would always wonder, how can I get my hands on this? And on that day, 13th June 2019, I had a dream where I was in a church, and as Rick Joyner was at the front, praying, engrossed in prayer, and I was waiting for him to finish so that I ask him, but guy, how do we get this, yeah? And He prayed. He continued praying. He wasn't finishing. And then I'm like, but you know what? I can't wait anymore. Let me go and what? And tap him. Just let him know that I'm around. And then I'll ask him my question. But just before I did that, he turns and he tells me, Joan, do you want to know how to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your strength? I told him yes. He told me, see that Bible there that you have? Just do everything that is written in the Bible. And you will have loved the Lord with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. Amen? So, from that time, I realized that for us to guard our hearts, we must have the love of God in our hearts. Amen? But you see, the beautiful thing is that when we get born again, this love is deposited in our hearts. Amen? This love is deposited in our hearts. In other words, stand it down. Grow the love of God. Amen? Grow the love of God in your heart. Grow the love of God. It will protect you from all these things. Joseph, when he was facing temptation, said, but I cannot do such a thing. You know, there are some things that you get to a certain point in your life and you're like, nah, yeah, you know what, eh? I just cannot do this. If there is a sin or something that you're struggling with, there is a certain point at which I believe that we can get to as Christians and we're like, but no. Nobody is watching. I can get away with this. I can sleep with this person and never get pregnant, never get HIV. Nobody will know. But you're like, but no, I will not do this. Amen? Why? Because I love the Lord. So the love of God is what really transforms us. So that is number one. How to guard our hearts? Love the Lord. Do what the Bible says. It is so simple. Amen? Then number two, we go to still Proverbs 4:23, verses 24. Here it says, after it has said, from 23, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. 24 says, put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. This is how we are going to guard our hearts, people. Keep perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. What does perversity mean? It simply means, but it simply means a deliberate desire to behave in an unacceptable manner. When you are deliberate, you're perverse, and you're behaving in a very unacceptable manner. You are deliberate. That is what perversity really means, yeah? So now, verse 24 tells us, guard your mouth. We're in a time of post-COVID, COVID era, and I see people guarding themselves with their masks. Honestly, the lipstick goes on the what? On the masks. So I don't like those masks. However, we are guarding ourselves. Yes. So I wish we could have something like that for the talk that comes out of our mouth, where we can guard, where we have masks and we guard whatever comes out of our lips. You know, slanderers will not inherit the kingdom of God. Gossip, you can call it whatever you want. Office politics, you want to know what is happening. That neighbor, you know, social media, information, yeah? And now, slander is on our fingertips. The things we post, the things we say, you know. I personally like jokes, and I think I find myself easily hanging around men because I grew up with boys. I'm the only girl. I have 5 brothers. So I'm used to testosterone and ego, but I'm also used to a good joke from men. Men joke really hard, and men joke hard. They have stories. If you're a light-hearted person, you will survive men. Amen? So I like those jokes, but sometimes you find yourself, when the talk that is coming out of people's mouths is just too, it's not something that is for you. It is callous, it is cynical, you know, and you have to guard your mouth. You know, by the way, for us ladies, we talk so much, but I also discovered that people who are quiet or who pretend to be quiet look much wiser than you who is ever. So you want to look wise in a meeting, you just go there and first keep quiet like for 30 minutes. When they ask you, just keep nodding. You do some hums and hums. You're going to look even more intelligent. That is the place of words, by the many words, yeah? So Proverbs 10:19-20. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Okay? He who restrains his lips is what? Is wise. You will look wise, you people, by keeping quiet. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. Amen? So, in a multitude of words, you people, whether it's joking, whether it's kabozi, banter, like what I know people call it, loose talk, sin lacks there. It lacks, it is always on someone's, you know? Someone will say something that is just not right. But if we are to guard our hearts, we are going to have to watch the things that we say, that which comes out of our lips, of our mouths. Psalm 141 verses 3, it says, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. We know James reminds us that the tongue is very difficult to control. It's like that kafaya. Eh? It's like that thing that will sink a ship. But here, David prays a prayer and says, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Okay? Watch over the door of my lips. It is very difficult for us to control everything that we say all the time. But let me tell you how we can get to that point. By praying such simple prayers. You wake up in the morning, pray that prayer. You do not want to hear, for us who are parents, your child say anything profane, anything unbecoming. But yet for you, on the other hand, you can say those things and get away with them. So the same way you as a parent, you don't want to hear your child say those things. Even God doesn't want to hear you saying those things. Because when you keep saying these things, you're sowing seeds. Glory to God. You are sowing seeds. Words come with spirits behind them. So sometimes you're sowing seeds in people's lives. You're just basically spilling seed everywhere. And those things end up affecting people. Through our words, we hurt people. We say things a wrong way. All of us have, at one point or the other, have said something that has hurt your friend and you've paid dearly. Either by profusely apologizing, munyaring, coming back, you buy yourself back into the person's life. But words are very destructive. And once they are said, they cannot be retracted. It's done. And let me tell you, on that day, we shall account for every idle word that is said. So that is number two. Number three, verses 25, still from Proverbs 4:25. Proverbs 4:25 tells us how to guard our eyes. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. 25, let your eyes look straight ahead and fix your gaze directly before you. The eyes are the doors to your spirit. People who are extremely prophetic or even mildly prophetic, by now you should know that the things you look at will affect you. Okay? The things you look at, the things you hear, but the eyes are the doors into your spirit. And Jesus Christ reminds us of this in Matthew 6:22. Matthew 6:22. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Okay? The eyes, what we see, this is the entrance of things in our spirit. Okay? So what are those things that you see every day? What do you subject your eyes to when you're reading, the things that you're watching? Are they things that will change you, affect you? A very good example, again, you know, there is a time I watched, there is a documentary called Social Dilemma. Is there anyone who has watched that? Yeah, Carol, thank you. At least one person. Social Dilemma is a documentary that was made by people who came from, like, top executives and former employers of things like firms like Facebook, Google, WhatsApp. And these guys left, even Apple, by the way, these guys left those organizations, came together, formed an organization that now enlightens people about social media. And that is when you watch that documentary, you will see Baba Fera. Like, the way social media is engineered, first and foremost, it is engineered to kill interpersonal relationships. There is one point in that documentary where they show two guys chatting over, like, seated together next to each other, like Sandra and Esther, and they are chatting, they're engrossed in the chat. And then, it's called artificial intelligence, computers, the things that we subscribe to on social media. So what happens is, somewhere in that artificial intelligence, Sandra has a phone, Esther also has a phone. And then they are able to see and profile Sandra, they've profiled Esther. They know what Sandra likes from the things she has subscribed to, from the people that she follows. And the same goes for what? The same goes for Esther. That is why when you go on YouTube, the first time you put in Hillsong, the next time you go there, there'll be suggestions of Hillsongs. Likewise, if you go to YouTube and you're doing Candle Indoli, the next time you see another word, you know those talks, eh? There will be suggestions of like what? Of like things, yeah? Gossip, a candle indoli. Yes. Mm-hmm. So you can see that your pastor doesn't subscribe to such foolishness. Glory to God. So the next time you go back, you'll find suggestions, eh? Of a candle indoli of Uganda, South Africa, where, Kenya, what? And they're like, eh? And then there are subtitles. Now, when you have Wi-Fi, you realize that actually your videos start to play before you click on them to watch. And there are subtitles. Okay? So in Social Dilemma, you realize, when you watch it, realize that they're trying to say that none of these things is random. These two guys were seated next to each other and they were not on their phones. But artificial intelligence was able to see that there is no activity that is going on. So they check online. They check Facebook. Sandra is not there. Instagram. Esther is not on this. Then there is no activity. She's not posting anything on Instagram. And you know what social intelligence does? They trigger. They trigger a notification. All right? So as Sandra and Esther engage in their conversation, she receives a trigger. It comes on her phone. Joanne has joined Facebook. Okay? So in as much as she's like, Joanne has joined Facebook. Okay. And then they'll trigger something for Esther. Best baby products, yeah, to buy. Or new product on the market to whatever the baby. So in that moment, when they see those triggers, the notifications coming through, they all turn to what? To their phones. And then the way it is done in Social Dilemma, the documentary, is that artificial intelligence is portrayed as a person who is remotely controlling you. Okay? You're in church like this, you're listening to Joe, and then you get a notification. Pah! And that notification has to do with something that you're really interested in. And in that moment, they have severed whatever you're receiving at that time. Okay? So, when it comes to the things that we see, after watching that movie, I felt a loss. I felt such a loss for social media. I was like, how can someone, a computer somewhere, the things that I've subscribed to, now how can they start controlling me? Okay? Even when you say, let me put my phone on silent, you're in a serious meeting, let me tell you, you don't have to read the entire message. You receive that kind of notification from this. The notification, even the notification about the weather, it is that bad. For them, as long as you have got your what? Gadget. And you're holding it. So they don't care if it is the weather. You'll see, today it will be cloudy and windy in Kampala. To how many degrees? And you're like, but I'm in a meeting. You guys, yeah? So, the things that we look at, and these things are meant to contaminate us. Okay? And in the last days, the wickedness abounds. Okay? Wickedness abounds. I see the things like the things I subscribe to. I don't have any subscription on YouTube. But just you go there wanting a song, a simple song. The next time you see things, all sorts of trash. Eh? And by the way, for us who have who share such photos, I can know what Sam has been watching. Yeah? By just going onto my screen, my TV screen, and I just put in YouTube. And guess what? All the things that Sam has been watching will come zwee. So what are those things that you watch? You must understand also that some of these campaigns, the things on social media, are meant to arouse covetousness. All right? You're there, you have your hairstyle. It is good. You are believing God for money. You even came and testified that I got money to plait my hair. A week later, you get a notification. This is the wig, what? On market. And then you start to feel like, but this hair, eh? Hey, it's old. Before you know it, there are suggestions of different people that have that same hairstyle. Okay? By the way, because even you're Christian, they will profile for you Christians that have that hairstyle. It is that bad. Before you know it, you start to feel, and that is how you build, you begin to feel not grateful, ingratitude. Yes? Who am I? Who am I? Really? Yeah? So, let's go to the commandments. Deuteronomy 5:21. And we look at covetousness. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. And you shall not desire your neighbor's house. Okay? His field, his male servant, his female servant, his ox, his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. Leave it up there. Let me just bring it down to us. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not desire your neighbor's crib. You shall not desire his iPhone. You shall not desire his car, even the first and the second. You shall not desire... Yes, this is, you people, this is a commandment, yeah? You shall not desire his iPhone. You shall not covet. You know, these are things, and you know, coveting doesn't necessarily mean that what you have is of low quality. This is why the devil is so bad. You can actually have something that is of quality, but lust can make you covet, can make you desire something that is even below that which you have. That is how men or women, spouses, go and sleep with people that are way below their segment. And I've said that in the most holy way I can. Okay? So, you find someone, yes, you wonder, you're like, but this man of God, how did he sleep with a maid? Yeah? How did you sleep with a guy who sells chapati? Lust. Okay? Lust will make you feel not satisfied with what you have, and even if it was the best. Okay? So, we have to guard our hearts. We must guard our hearts. These are very simple things. But these simple things can make you live a life. You know, when you listen to some stories of, like, ladies share with you stories of the things that, you ask them, so how did you end up being a prostitute? And they will say, Nayagale Simu. You know such things, Nayagale Simu, or, you know, this guy used to give me nice things, yeah? When I wanted nice earrings, he would bring them. When I wanted what you know? And you lose your whole soul for just that. It could be a promotion at work. It could be whatever it is. But please, let us guard our hearts. God told us not to covet as a commandment. All right? If you want to live satisfied, you know that is why some men of God make radical decisions, like I'll not look at newspapers, I will not look at Oba magazines, I will just cut out that world. Yeah? They do such radical things. Why? Because they really want to protect their hearts. And it would be good for you. You know, there are some things that you may hear someone talk about, and because you've cut that line off, you don't even know what they mean. I don't know if you found yourselves in those conversations. People are there talking about, oh, now this is the in thing, Sandra, what? And you're like, what? What is that? I have no idea. I don't even know what you're talking about. Oh, you know, this is the new song. What? And you're like, eh? This is the new joint. You're like, Bichi, really? I don't understand. So, and it's okay for you to be like that. And someone will come and say, ah, kanoka Christian brother, ka sister, kali boring. But that is all right. Yeah. That is all right for you not to know everything. You are not meant to know everything. All right? And it's okay not to know those things. So let us guard what our eyes see. The first thing is guard your steps. Proverbs 4:26. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. All right? So we are going to look at this parallel to 1 Corinthians 15:33 about bad company. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Evil company will corrupt you on any day. And this doesn't, it has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with how long you have been born again. You people, I find myself every day having to check my company. Yesterday I sat somewhere and I started blocking people in my phone. I was like, Banange, I cannot start preaching these things when I haven't done something at least. Yeah? So I told God, let me do something as a sign that I believe, yes, I believe the things you have called me to preach tomorrow. Do you know, I blocked 184 people in my phone. But these are the people I blocked, and this is the reason I blocked them. These people, every time I post a status, they are there looking at my statuses. And they're usually service providers, Pop Compound, Felix Market, yeah? Because I'm a mother. Those are the same, so like, Pop Compound, what is he looking at my work, my stuff? I blocked Felix Market, Agri Saloon, yeah? Who else did I block? Like, people like that, along, you know, find someone safe border, find someone you can block, yeah? Why? Because these guys keep sending you, because they don't know that you're born again, they're service providers. Well, in fact, there's one I blocked for crunchy cakes, something, crunchy cookies. Oh, double service providers, all of them, I blocked them from viewing my statuses. Because I realize when you put a status, then they respond to you. Then sometimes they send you things that are just not right. So I said, no, I have to guard, yeah? I have to guard myself. I cannot be receiving statuses from Felix, the guy who carries for me things in the market. She, auntie, mommy, no. No. You guys, problems of being a woman. When you're walking beside the road, the border guy, I'm here preaching a sermon, some serious, a border guy, auntie. The market guy, auntie, mama, nalongo. No, you know, problems of being a woman. Anyway, so mama says, yange. How do you call me size yo? So guard your steps. Bad company corrupts good morals. Bad company corrupts good morals. You will have your good morals set in place, but let me tell you, I give you 6 months. You're married, and your best friend is single. Your good friends are Muslims. If you always find yourself in discussions, conversations of Ania Waba, for us, we are the right ones, we are the wrong ones. Cut them out. You're supposed to preach to them. If they keep disturbing, you just block, because now you know that one is what? A time waster. Yeah? So bad company will always corrupt good morals. You've been married 13 years, you're okay, you find someone who starts telling you confusing things that someone wrote in a book about, you know, how intelligent, being an intelligent, submissive wife. What the heck? What does that mean? I'm like, an intelligent, you know, submission doesn't mean domineering. But what? You know, anyway, just know, guys, yeah? Bad company will corrupt your good morals. You know those friends that you have, that honestly you feel a bad company to you. They are not adding anything. Cut them out for the sake of your heart. You know, there are those people that will either make you feel like you're so boring, or your salvation is boring, or they challenge your salvation. They are basically, they may never even take you to, they may never, and you know that the devil is so He is so wise, yeah? He is weak but wise. And he's so deceitful. He will not come to you, like, he will not come to you and maybe like me, John, who is, let me use my example. No, Juliana. I mean, because Juliana will understand. So, Juliana, the devil will not come to you and tell you, come and what? Come, we go to the club. Because he knows, the moment Juliana just hears a certain chidongo, she'll be like, me elevation, worship. So the devil will not come to you like that. But the devil is going to come to you through your friends at work, yeah? And he will suggest a social evening. Juliana, how do you feel about a social evening? And you're like, but you know, you guys, those things. Like, no, it's just a social, what? Social evening. You don't even have to drink. For you, we shall give you Fanta. Okay? So, you go properly with your friends to this social evening. And then before you know it, meanwhile, you are leading worship on Sunday. It is Friday night. And they're saying, you know, even Christians are welcome to happy hour. Let me tell you, you go for that evening, happy hour, and before you know it, you're listening to things. And if you're prophetic and you can discern those things, you're depositing things in your what? In your spirit, okay? You're depositing things in your heart. So you're there, you see the way people are dancing. All you need, Juliana, is three social evenings. Before you start to say, you know, elevation worship is a bit boring. Those are to choose them. We need some more raw, okay? If we need, yeah? Let me tell you, bad company corrupts good morals. Don't think you're going to reinvent the wheel. This is a principle in the kingdom of God, all right? So you're not going to change that principle. Bad company corrupts good morals. Don't be there saying, but you know, there's that argument. I'm not giving to be a great visible. But you see, Judas Iscariot was a thief and he was in Jesus' inner. He was a thief, but he was in Jesus' inner circle. How then did they become like him? The man was appointed to damnation, for you do not know. So, And someone asked me that one time. So bad company, my point is, bad company will corrupt good morals. Guide your steps. Psalm 1, verses 1 to 2. Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. You do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You do not stand in the path of sinners. You do not sit in the seat of the scornful. Okay? There are some people you have no business with. Absolutely no business with. And ladies, I want to tell you, don't fear. You know, for us ladies, we can't fear. You want to have a, let's maintain a friendship. I don't want to sound about how. Cut them out. All right? Cut them out. Because there are people who are going to influence you tomorrow. You know, in teaching my children at home, I've learned that the people they socialize with, we are like co-educators with my children. Okay? So, you know, you have arguments with your children about what their teachers say. But you're not my teacher. You first ask the teacher, then I will do it. This is what the teacher told. The teacher said, we write it like this. But it's the same thing. It is the same thing. Have mercy on me. It is the same thing. You're three people. I have to. No, ma'am, you first ask. You first call. Here is your phone. You call the teacher and first talk to the teacher. Then I will come and I'll write on the page. Do you see how we are influenced even at a very young age? Now that doesn't go away. The people that you call your friends, let me use an example. I'm talking to pastor, but I'm talking to pastor plus the things that influence pastor. It's as simple as that, okay? I'm talking to Sandra, but I'm talking to Sandra, but also with Sandra comes her boss, her marriage, her maid, her what? So Sandra is a total sum of those things and her family. Okay? So the things that, who are you? What do you want to influence you? If you realize that, you'll be very slow on who you pick as your friend. Amen? You'll be very slow on who you pick as your friend. Bad company corrupts good morals. And you know what? Sometimes a company will cost you. Well, it will cost you. Sometimes you just need to unsubscribe from those foolish things that you've subscribed to. Yeah, the things that keep popping up in your feeds. Unsubscribe. You know, some company now is on our fingertips. We swipe our friends. That is how we keep engaged with our, we are swiping conversations, swiping friends, swiping what? Unsubscribe from all that stuff that defiles you, that will corrupt you. Do not walk in that council. All right? Don't walk in that council. So briefly, we've said how to guard our hearts. Love the Lord with all your heart. Number two, guard your mouth, the things that come from your mouth. Number three, guard what you see. Number four, choose your friends wisely. Choose your friends wisely. May God bless you.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.